Welcome back, everyone. This is Ryan Selkis. You're listening to another episode of Messari's Unqualified Opinions, where each week I discuss key industry trends with crypto's top investors, builders, and thinkers. Just a reminder, Messari is much more than a podcast company. So if you're an industry professional or crypto investor, head over to Messari.io and check out Messari Pro, our crypto toolkit that offers best-in-class research, advanced screening, and charting tools to keep you ahead of the investing curve, plus a new enterprise alerts tool. We're also hosting the industry's largest virtual event, the Mainnet, this June 1st through 3rd, with over 50 hours of programming, 100 confirmed speakers, and virtual networking that's so seamless, you'll feel like you're actually there. 50% of the profits are heading to COVID relief, so go reserve your spot today at mainnet.events. That's Messari.io for pro research and tools, and mainnet.events for the best virtual event you'll attend this year. With that, strap in for another episode. Going to be a good one. This episode of the podcast brought to you by Luca. Save money this tax season with Luca Tax, the only time-tested crypto tax software. Luca has listened to your feedback and now lets you calculate capital gains and losses, seeing the results using three different accounting methods side by side, all for free. You only pay if you want to see their detailed tax reports and submit your forms using their software. Luca supports unlimited transaction downloads from all major exchanges and wallets and helps you optimize your tax reporting so you can max out this year's refunds or minimize how much you have to pay. Luca wants to help Messari's Unqualified Opinions listeners save even more this year. So use promo code MESSARITAX and you'll get a discount. Much more importantly, you'll do your taxes correctly and stay out of jail. Download Luca Tax at Luca with two Ks, tax.com, and save money this tax season. This episode of the podcast brought to you by Crypto.com. We know times are tough. That's why Crypto.com is introducing three different measures to help its community with their new Crypto.com app and credit card. First, they're waiving the 3.5% credit card fee on all crypto purchases in the next 3 months. They're also offering 10% back when you use the MCO Visa card on food and grocery shopping. And as always, you can buy gift cards on the Crypto.com app from merchants like Whole Foods, Safeway, Burger King, and more, with 20% back on food and an additional 10% back on groceries. So download the Crypto.com app today. This podcast is presented by Blockworks Group, one of the top blockchain events and media production companies I've worked with. For exclusive content and events that could help you with insight into the crypto and blockchain space, check them out at blockworksgroup.io and you will not be disappointed. All right, everyone. Welcome back. Another episode of Messari's Unqualified Opinions. I'm Ryan Selkis at 2BitIdiot on Twitter. Got a very special guest tonight. It is late here, East Coast time. It is early where he is. Talking about Jun Li, who's the founder of Ontology, one of the largest crypto projects in China. We're going to talk quite a bit about the Eastern versus Western crypto scenes, some of the plans that he and the Ontology team have for their new and ever-evolving platform, and probably get into a little bit of the coronavirus update, I'm sure, as we are with pretty much every guest now, since it is the only topic that most people care about. June, before we get into your background and the background of the project, how has everything been in Shanghai? And how much of your team and kind of ecosystem is currently based in China? Because I think that's probably a helpful orientation point for people, like much of our audience, which is going to be more Western dominated. If we have this conversation in a vacuum and people don't have a proper sense for exactly what it's like on the ground in China right now due to the coronavirus, it might sound a little bit otherworldly or confusing that you just kind of brush things off and there's not a whole lot to worry about. What is the reality on the ground with the team and with the gradually easing measures to bring this under containment, since it's been relatively contained in China?
Yeah, currently the situation already become as stable and be controlled in China mostly, and many company have back to work, and I guess it's especially maybe more than 70 or 80% business is returned to the work or open, especially. Of course, some public activities still be controlled, or some people cannot do the, in the public areas. But our company already back to work, and all the technical and the marketing, all the team in Shanghai countries work is as a normal situation. And of course, a lot of argument about the virus, especially people think, okay, where the virus come? And people always argue, where is the original source, especially? And I also check a lot of arguments and about the virus, about China and how to the virus coming. And but I think we still need to trust the scientists. Science. There's a lot of scientists still work for that to figure out the real source. There's still no answer right now, so we're still waiting for that. But China currently situation is being controlled. I know a lot of other areas, the situation is still in a very dangerous or bad situation right now. Maybe New York, maybe also it's one of the areas. So we're also looking for some things we can do helpful for those kind of in Europe, United States, or other areas. So that is currently, China is currently has become a stable situation.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about your background and the project, and then we'll kind of get back up to the modern day again. When did you first get into the crypto ecosystem, and what was the so-called red pill that you took to get involved? Was it Bitcoin? Was it Ethereum? And what made you go all in and decide to start your own multi-chain project?
Okay. Actually, I'm joining the blockchain industry very early stage. In that time, Ethereum still not exist. So it's before that, it's maybe 5 years ago, I guess. Of course, Bitcoin is there, but few people know Bitcoin in that time. So I'm working for CFX. CFX is China Financial Future Exchange. It's China, one of the largest traditional financial the exchange platform. I'm working as a technical structure and a technical leader for that part. And we found new technology called blockchain, which behind the Bitcoin coming. So we think, okay, that's where maybe impact financial exchange or financial trading or financial institution. So I lead a small team to do investigation and to study research this new technology. In that time, it's still just a few people papers like the Bitcoin white paper and to do this kind of study. But after that, I read some paper. After that, I find, okay, that is not only a technology. It's also kind of new, it's collaboration models. People can do the cooperation, collaboration. It's not only impact to some financial trading or financial scenario. They also impact a lot of other traditional the business cooperation. So I think, okay, I want to do those kind of new things in that time. I think because the traditional financial institution already exist, most things already exist more than 100 years. So I want to try some new things. Yeah. So the 5 years ago, I decided quit my job and to begin to join a new startup. And in that time, the new startup called OnChain is a technical company. It's the earliest technical company. They have several founders. One is Dong Fei, is Neo's founder, and another also, Eric also is a founder, another founder, co-founder of Neo, and I also joined this technical company, and that is maybe the earliest technical company in China, one of the earliest, so we start to do that. So during this part, we think, okay, we need another, a new kind of public platform. They can support not only digital assets or digital economy, and also can link to the real traditional industry, traditional business scenarios. They can also, especially, they can also support the identity and the data exchange, and even different legal environment. So that's why we kick off the ontology public platform, the more focused on as part. Yeah, this is, mm-hmm.
And why did you make the decision to split from Neo and kind of create these two separate projects? What is unique about Ontology, because you do still work pretty closely with Neo, if memory serves me correct. Where were the dividing lines, and how do you work together and kind of view each other's projects today?
Okay. One thing is actually on-chain and Neo is a different company and different project. Neo is public or community-based public blockchain. Ontology also is another community-based public blockchain. But on-chain is a technical company. They provide the technical blockchain technical service. The difference between Neo and Ontology is more focused on the traditional scenario. Is how to link the decentralized service and to the traditional different business scenario. It's kind of convert those traditional business to a decentralized service. So that means they were more focused on some fundamental modules like the decentralized identity, decentralized data exchange protocol, and also include how to link and to omit different legal requirements, KYC requirements. So Ontology is more like enterprise level or this kind of more focused on traditional. But Neo more focused on digital assets and the pure digital economy. So they still have a different technical vision and the technique and the architecture and the business objects.
You know, as you think about your positioning, you know, there's some schools of thought where there's China and then there's the rest of the world, right? And you've seen this in terms of how aggressively the Chinese government has been and how much they've embraced blockchain technology and their digital currency efforts right now. On the other hand, it's been very hot or cold with public blockchains like Ethereum, like Bitcoin. Having the nexus of the project and the team and the ecosystem in China, how do you think about being a permissionless system and also being open for non-Chinese participation, given that the systems that seem to be doing well on the mainland, especially, are ones that are actively engaged with the government and are much more permissioned versus open and accessible to a global audience.
They have actually two parts. For example, the China National Digital Currency, they already launched as a testnet and some small scope. That's actually is not kind of decentralized or blockchain solution. It's just a kind of digitalized token solution. So that's still centralized control solution for that. So for this part, fundamentally, it's no difference with currently RMB, traditional RMB, just to use another technical way to use that. For the blockchain or decentralized service, of course, in China, in most cases, permissioned blockchain is maybe kind of aliens from different companies. They build a permissioned blockchain to in a specific scope or specific scenario to do that. Of course, those kind of scenario also can build some trust in specific scope. But I think in a large scope, especially the flexible scope, business process, you don't know, okay, what is new participants, they want to do the business process based on the public platform like Ethereum or Bitcoin. So you have to use a technical as a open and use open source, and you should be a very clear, transparent governance process and let people come in. So I still believe a public platform like Ontology still have their specific usage in some different scope. So the government's policies maybe just don't want to some individual investor. They don't know the background. They maybe invest some project that's kind of scam project or bad project. But if you have a long-term history and show your platform, tech knowledge, code, and use case already. And this, I believe, still have those kind of space to do that. Especially most, in some case, I mean, in a large scope, a flexible scenario, permission blockchain cannot cover this kind of situation. They cannot build a transparent trust in many cases. So I still think public blockchain platform is will be key things in the blockchain. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious with that in mind, which use cases you see as unique for Ontology or which you are servicing that are similar to what is already being developed on top of Ethereum or Tezos. Or, you know, is, you know, will likely be, you know, built on Polkadot, which is also making a concerted effort to make, you know, deep inroads in the Chinese market once they launch with Substrate. So how do you divvy up the universe? Is this zero sum in terms of competing for developer mindshare, ecosystem, health and the network effects that come along with that? Or are there particular niches that Ontology is particularly well suited for versus some of its other competitor blockchains?
Mm-hmm. Two parts. One in the technical architecture. Ontology will more focus on two important protocol. I mean, except for the blockchain infrastructure. Of course, we should have a high performance and decentralized infrastructure. That is maybe similar in different projects. I mean, the major projects will be similar. Of course, Ontology have in the infrastructure level have some specific technology like the multiple virtual machine. I mean, smart contracts, different kind of smart contract mechanism. And in the vast virtual machine smart contract, Ontology currently in the public blockchain is the farthest one to do that. But the technical part is only infrastructure. That is maybe just a small difference even between Ethereum and the other platform. But in protocol, Ontology will more focus on two parts. One is decentralized identity. That is also already covered all the W3Cs, the EID protocols, and more than that, a lot of specific module from Ontology. And another is data exchange, decentralized data exchange protocol. Those two parts can link to the real identity differently, not only people, also include devices, company, organization, in the real business case or in real world. I mean, sometimes the KYC process or some also can be meet different legal requirements. I mean, decentralized service also can be accepted by the in the real scenario. Another is data exchange. We still believe data is an important resource in the current like AI or other kind of business process. Blockchain, from my point of view currently, blockchain is one of best solution right now to support data exchange and the cooperation in a large scope. So that's why we more focus on our data, decentralized data exchange protocol. Currently is one of comprehensive decentralized protocol right now, compared with other data exchange protocol and projects. Based on that, we also kicked off a data exchange market like called Saga based on Ontology. So that is we want more focus on. Actually, we currently support different enterprise and discuss with other partners. Also, is private those kind of protocol service for them. Besides that, I mean, in the operation and the service part, Ontology also a little bit different with other projects. Community base is important resource and the supporting based on that. But we also have a core team in China and also have a global team in the United States and Europe. We will provide service for different partners, traditional different partners to do the deeply customization and the long-term service for them, help them to finish the process converting their business to decentralized service based on ontology solution. That is also is one of our advantage. Once a company, they want to move their production to a decentralized service or platform, the technical evaluation is one part. Another is they also need to consider that, okay, is their core team can support me in a long term? If I meet something, if I need a deeply customization, if I need some consulting service, is those kind of service can support me in my real business? When you try run something or just build some small dApps, community base, that's fine. But for the most enterprise, they want to long term. That is, we can provide, we can guarantee this kind of service. That's also is one of our advantage. So there's two parts is differentiate us with other platforms right now. Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm curious what the how much time and energy you spend thinking about the economics of the token versus some of the underlying use cases, because in Korea and China and Hong Kong, there has been a much stronger speculative streak in the communities and a much, I think, greater emphasis on where, the tokens are trading or what the financial performance is. How does that impact the features that you build, the things that you prioritize in the technical roadmap when it comes to updates, if at all? Because I obviously ontologies perform well as a public blockchain. I think it's probably the in the top 30 or so in size and recognition. But that strikes me as a dynamic that would lead many in the many developers and many teams and projects that are operating in the East to put more of a focus on financial products and actually trying to figure out how the platform will generate value and have that ultimately accrue back to the stakeholders. It's slightly different from the way that it is in the US. I mean, and this is for better and for worse, because there are some US projects and some European projects that say, yeah, we issued a token, but we're not really focused on the economics of it. We're just focused on the software. And for people that bought the token early on, they're kind of like raising their hands and saying, what the hell? So what type of thinking do you put into that? How does that factor into your decision making process day to day?
Okay. From our understanding, is technology is important thing, but it's just kind of baseline. That is things you have to do, finish. You have to have a strong technology in long-term progress, you see. But as a platform, you have to consider the business model and the economic model, and its long-term, how you can get a return for your supporter or investor. Maybe some supporter is technical supporter, some is just an investor. You have to consider that. You cannot say, okay, I just issue a token and I deliver my technology. Is the technology useful or not? Have people want to use that? It's not my concern. If I have got lucky, just like Ethereum, they got famous in an early stage, have a large community. Okay, this is lucky things. But for the following project, they say, okay, my technology is better than Ethereum, but I have not so lucky to find the fake god famous. I don't think this is good attitude for this part. You not only concern about technology part, you also need to concern how to do the business model in the long term. That's why we still, the core team not only deliver technology parts, we also have a very large business development teams. They are talk to the different partners, especially traditional business in Europe, in United States, and in China, in Asia, in Japan, and Korea. This is why we want more users, more case, more scenario running on ontology. Besides that, we also have a very large product team. They build the client's product, not only mobile application and different small apps and the web application, the best ontology to focus on different business scenario, different use case or scenarios. That is one thing. We want to have more real use case running ontology, more and more transaction, more and more data, more and more identity be registered to the ontology. That means based on that, okay, you can got an ecosystem. But ecosystem is not some people think, okay, ecosystem not a real things. You need to very care about your token economy. That means like ontology have due tokens. It's very like a traditional stock. But it's a little bit different. But one thing is scarce. More and more use case, they will got more and more benefit to ONT holder, I mean token holder. I think this is has process, has model, so people can support it, do the support for your long term. They know, okay, you're doing everything will increase the enhance the value of the token. That is, you can got the investor or supporter long-term supporting. That's also important because, to be honest, the whole industry, blockchain industry, is still not can be survived just by their own business model. I mean, your income can cover all your technical cost or the other business cost right now, not to this part. It's very like the early stage international industry. They still need to input or invest more than income. So based on that, what kind of you do, people can trust you in the long term. And they think your business model is makes sense. They want to support you, not only kind of just a trading, just a help. Helper is finished. This is important. That is the things and the logic ontology want to our community, not only technical community and also investor to understand this part. And also we want to show our ever efforts, ever results, ever achievement, not only in a marketing announcement. It's also people to think, okay, this is the logic is makes sense. The logic is help your the future values. So I think it's both important, not only technology. Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Luca. Save money this tax season with Luca Tax, the only time-tested crypto tax software. Luca has listened to your feedback and now lets you calculate capital gains and losses, seeing the results using three different accounting methods side by side, all for free. You only pay if you want to see their detailed tax reports and submit your forms using their software. Luca supports unlimited transaction downloads from all major exchanges and wallets and helps you optimize your tax reporting so you can max out this year's refunds or minimize how much you have to pay. Luca wants to help Masari's Unqualified Opinions listeners save even more this year. So use promo code MasariTax and you'll get a discount. Much more importantly, you'll do your taxes correctly and stay out of jail. Download Luca Tax at Luca with 2Ks tax.com and save money this tax season. This episode of the podcast brought to you by Crypto.com. We know times are tough. That's why Crypto.com is introducing three different measures to help its community with their new Crypto.com app and credit card. First, they're waiving the 3.5% credit card fee on all crypto purchases in the next 3 months. They're also offering 10% back when you use the MCO Visa card on food and grocery shopping. And as always, you can buy gift cards on the Crypto.com app for merchants like Whole Foods, Safeway, Burger King, and more with 20% back on food and an additional 10% back on groceries. So download the Crypto.com app today.
You know, I definitely think that is a, I don't know that it's a unique perspective. I think the entrepreneurs and operators in the East are able to speak about that much more directly than some of the operators in the West for regulatory reasons. What have your discussions been like, if any, with some of the Western stakeholders, the infrastructure providers, the exchanges, the funds, because you know you can't. It's almost like you can't talk about certain token dynamics with an exchange in the West, for instance, if it's not absolutely a non-security and a genuine cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or one of the early forks, with very, very limited exceptions. Does that, do you actively seek out Western partnerships at this point, or are you content to let them come to you when the time is right from a regulatory standpoint?
Pardon, your question points is about you mean token trading parts or?
Well, just generally getting Western involvement in the Ontology ecosystem, of which trading is obviously going to be a big element, because that's generally how people first get involved in these ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think people in the different community, actually we want to, more and more, want to people to involve the ecosystem as a developer or some, they can build their very decentralized service ontology. That is one thing. If as an investor, we actually don't do any, directly do any kinds of investment recommendation and all those kinds of things, but we just show the logic. What is logic behind the token? What is logic for this platform or protocol? What is the long term? How they got value in the long term? We will very want to clear that people to understand that. So they can do the decision based on that. Okay, I want to a builder to be a builder, build my service ontology. Not that I can be an investor. I believe currently in long term, I could got value. And of course, they needed to evaluate current price. Okay, this price, this is market size is a good time to investment. That is special. But mostly, we still want to more and more people, okay, they can convert the country business as a decentralized service to try that. And ontology want to provide the service for that. The service not only an infrastructure protocol or open source, also kind of consulting and customization technical service for that as well. So that is we are open. But of course, we need to more people know us and to get more communication with different community in different areas.
What are some of the things that keep you up at night or are most concerning as you scale the community, scale the technology? And, you know, I was having a conversation with a few folks just last night where especially in light of everything that's going on internationally beyond crypto, there's concern that on the one hand, this is crypto's moment. So if it doesn't take off, at scale and particularly Bitcoin and then, you know, Bitcoin having a trickle down effect or many of the Web3 applications that we've been talking about for a long time. If not now, then when? And on the other extreme, if things move so quickly and there is such radical change that Bitcoin and Ethereum and all the other major assets spike, that it draws too much attention, then, you know, some of this ecosystem could be stifled. To me, it seems like that's particularly concerning in China from a censorship perspective, but not so much practically speaking, given that the coronavirus itself is relatively contained and it doesn't seem that life has been permanently altered in China. Where are your concerns today? Right? Is it what's going on with the rest of the world, or is it with what you can control and how ontology continues to establish itself versus, you know, Ethereum or, you know, some of the other protocols that are much more, you know, globally recognized and larger from an ecosystem standpoint?
Okay. One thing is, of course, from my current understanding, the blockchain industry is very like the international industry. That means the top platform in different vertical scope will be the final winner. This means just one, maybe first and second platform become the final winner and the third will become gone. So it's unlike the other traditional industry. That's definitely. But one thing is they still need to have a different platform to provide kind of specific service in different vertical scope. Just like internet, we still have, okay, Facebook for the social network, Google for the search engine, and maybe Amazon for the e-commerce. And China is similar, right? So we still have a different strategy and the focus with other famous kind of famous platform like Bitcoin and Ethereum. They actually cannot cover all kinds of scenario. If a decentralized service will become a kind of mainstream service in the future, in the next generation, they still need several different platform to focus on that. So at least currently Ontology is one of option. I mean, shortlist right now. It's still existing more than 3 years and just a few platform, I mean, public chain platform can still be exist right now. And so currently they still have a chance to do that. And the global recognition, yes, one thing is currently is people, okay, they know the famous project like Ethereum and Bitcoin. But in next phase, we think if you have more and more real scenario use case, you also will got your specific recognized in different specific scope. I mean, for example, if you're working for traditional industry and those kind of industry use case will help you. Okay, people think, okay, this use case, we can best on the Ontology to do that, or maybe data exchange, or maybe the supply chain process. So this also have a, I believe still have a chance to do that. Besides that, we also have got our some supporting and also is kind of famous in China and Asia. That also can help us to, especially in this scope, we can find more use case and try to copy or to support this kind of use case to be globalized. So I still believe this chance be there. Just you think currently internet industry, most China internet company is very huge and very big right now, but still most Western people still don't know their service right now. Just maybe TikTok is successful, but in other like the WeChat or the other, even Alibaba is still not so many service. So this is a lot. And another key thing is, I think is currently globalization also meet a lot of challenge right now, especially in currently maybe trading issue conflicts and also included the various situation. I think a decentralized service or platform will help for people to do the cooperation in next phase. So I believe blockchain or decentralized service have their own specific chance to support the new kinds of globalized cooperation in next phase.
In terms of ecosystem collaborations, you see a lot of co-developments with projects, in the West, you know, Zcash is constantly working with Ethereum to incorporate zero knowledge proofs into some of the upgrades that they're making. You've got Cosmos that has been working on interoperability between some of these different blockchains. Polkadot for a while was claiming that they were not going to be competitive with Ethereum, and it was going to be more of a friendly dynamic. And of course, that's come under some criticism quite a bit of snark on social media as to whether that's true. When you think about key other partners and kind of developing this interoperable layer of crypto projects, who are some of the most important groups that you work with and have to interoperate with successfully, both today and kind of going forward, and what type of mind share do you currently give that versus the other priorities you have technically or from a business development standpoint?
Okay. Currently most blockchain project is still as a kind of community based. They build a community and the community teams, maybe some individual developers, small teams build the apps or application based on that. That is important. I think it's important part. But from my point of view also, another important part is you have to discuss with some the big partner. I mean, big partner, they already have their own specific scope community in the traditional industry, just as I mentioned. That is important because you're owning the dApps. How many dApps is not so important. I believe okay, more and more is better, but importantly, you need to have a high quality pro application to support a real scenario with a big user group and even in a big business scope. That is important. Of course, based on this process, your product, so your platform, your protocol also will be strong, be proved by a real case and real production environment. And of course, this also benefits to the community. They can build a decentralized application more easy and more secure for that. Compared with the internet industry, they will not, for example, Alibaba, Tencent, Facebook, the Amazon, they also hand off the platform, but they are not owning based on their community. Okay, build a different kind of small application on my platform. They will make sure my success. They actually provide a specific large scope service like the social network or e-commerce based on their platform. Of course, they still have some small community-based ecosystem application, but you have to a real big mainstream application based on that. That is ontology more focused on. And based on if this kind of application, you can support this kind of application, other community-based apps will also get benefits. You can more easily and more trust your platform build for this part. But another important thing is decentralization is also important and the key things. You need to make sure your efforts to be more decentralized, more people. I mean, the governance more level, you need to involve more and more partners to do the governance people. Just like today's, you need to have a shareholder as a board. They can do the governance for the company. But for the management teams, you need to focus on, okay, what is key business for this company? The decentralized is a key difference with other centralized platform. Because just to compare with resource or technology, actually those kind of currently internet player, internet industry player is far more than blockchain startup. Mm-hmm. But the decentralization, you need more focus on. But this is not technical level. It's kind of governance level. This governance is more like your economic, even the token or governance economic model. People, if you can get benefits for those kind of to join or participate in the governance model process, they will join. That is actually a different logic. We don't want to mix them up, and we will more focus on the real and large scope application right now. Yeah.
If there was one thing that people could get out of this conversation, you know, and memes are so powerful in general, but in this market in particular, what is the one line catchphrase that you'd want people to have when they think of ontology? Or is there one in China right now and maybe more localized? What is your favorite that you've seen to date?
When people think ontology, yes, we actually kick off from China, but it's already become a transparent public platform. I think mm-hmm. still people think, okay, that is global platform. They can do that. They have a private, some enterprise level and a strong protocols infrastructure for that. Currently people trust company or service maybe based on where you come from, China, United States, or Europe. But in blockchain world, I believe people will more trust technology. If your everything is transparent, open source, even governance processes is transparent, you just check the technical and the technology. So you needn't trust teams, trust the where they come from, just trust the technology. You can check by yourself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I meant by that was not necessarily that your community was confined to China, but rather if there was like a one-line meme that had taken off, where people were, you know, able to refer to the project in shorthand, right? So Ethereum was the world computer, you know, Bitcoin, digital gold, Tezos, French Ether, right? Like, you know, some of them are serious, some of them are jokes. But has anything stuck, or do you have like a catchphrase or anything that would be memorable to help people, you know, both with a little bit of wit, but also just, you know, generally speaking, really cut to the core of how you guys are different.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a kind of slogan called the Trust Redefined. Just maybe like the Apple slogan is called, okay, think difference. We are trust redefined. Actually, is so we define currently Ontology as a trust collaboration platform, decentralized trust collaboration platform. People, if you want to build a trust platform process linked to a real business, I mean currently the off-chain real business, Ontology is a good choice for that. You're not only just digits economy or the token economy, but you want to a real business can move as a decentralized service, Ontology is a good choice. So we define us as a trust collaboration, decentralized trust collaboration platform. The slogan is trust redefined. You need a new trust mechanism to do your business in next phase.
What are you looking forward to the most this year from the project?
This year, I'm looking for one or several important, I mean, the big partners in traditional market will build a partnership with Ontology to build a real decentralized application, I mean, big decentralized application Ontology together. This is what we're looking for. Another is we will still will push the decentralized level, decentralization level in next phase. More and more governance people will join to the governance process. This is two key things we will focus on in this year.
Excellent. Well, June, it's been terrific catching up with you. We're excited for the year ahead for the project and definitely appreciate you taking the time to explain this to our community and outline some more of your plans for the, not just this year, but kind of in general and how you see the project vis-a-vis all of these other new blockchain experiments, which we sometimes forget are still very early on. Where can people find you and get more involved with Ontology if they are so inclined?
You can choose ont.io. You will find most of our social network linkage, and you can follow us and to communicate with us for that. Yeah, ont.io. Yeah, our website.
And then are you, or do you have a social media presence as well, or mostly just stick to work and don't get distracted?
Yeah, I will use WeChat, and but not directly use Twitter, but we have a Twitter official account where we'll do some people can link us with that.
Excellent. Ontology is also, we've got a pretty robust profile on the project at sorry.io, so you can head on over there to learn more about the project. Or ont.io as well. June, thanks again. And for everybody that's watching, listening, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, Rhea. Rhea should be here. Thanks.
Until next time. Peace. Okay.
That's a wrap. Thanks for listening. New episodes of Unqualified Opinions go live weekdays at noon Eastern Time. You can follow me in the meantime on Twitter at 2BitIdiot if you want to continue the conversation or troll me. Otherwise, I'll see you next week.